Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can find us on ESPNU till 10 a.m. If you have the ESPN app on your phone, you know you just click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app, scroll down to live radio. We are right there. If you don't have the ESPN app on your phone, download it. It takes 5 seconds. You will not regret it.
Guess what today is, Key?
Your birthday.
Friday! Oh, let's go! It's that day of the week!
Third best day of the week.
Oh, get ready for your weekend! What? 5 p.m. cocktail hour. Let's go, Key.
I can't even. I missed too many days. I feel like I need to work it's Saturday and Sunday. I'm gonna work on Saturday and Sunday, man.
Was it the throat? What was it? That, where'd you catch from Max? Did you do? Have you been doing?
You didn't
your
catch
vocal
anything
warm-ups?
From me.
I don't know. You saw that video I said, but whatever. whatever Max had, I got.
I didn't have anything.
What did you have, Max?
He came down with a case of the genius. What happened? What's catching? All right, listen. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, is on the line now. We're going to get to Key's ranking all time in college football among college football receivers a little later. Yeah,
What was the guy's website? Big Game Boomer.
Big Game Boomer had Jay ranked 14th all time on the point guard list. We straightened him out. We had him on the show. By the way, how many views now does that thing have?
Yeah, like 2 million views off this
yesterday. Tweets got 2 million
views.
Right.
You're welcome.
How many did he have before?
He said he could, off the top of his head, come up with 14 better than you, Key. He said off the top of his head.
Key, just for the record, I just want you to know that your boy, me, I defended you. I said, all right, give me some. And he was like,
Jay, I'm more interested in what Dan has to say from the combine.
Dan Graziano, how you doing this morning?
I'm too young to remember Keyshawn as a player at USC. I am glad, though. Thank you, guys, because coming right on now. The first thing I've learned today is that it's Friday, and it's vital information that I didn't have.
Listen, try to give the people what they need.
Dan, more importantly,
I'm at the combine where every day is the same, so thank you for telling me what day it is.
Dan, I don't know if you can see your picture right now at ESPNU, though. Is your headshot from like 1995?
He's got his high school yearbook shot.
What is going on here?
Question of effort. There is a newer headshot. But some people, they find it, and some people just use the same old one they've been using for years. So either
you can
get the new headshot.
Most likely to be at the combine in the year 2023.
Hey, Dan. So Dan, you're down.
I can get there for 24. Yeah.
You're down at the combine in the rat race, Dan. You're all around. You only can move every two steps, and somebody's, I'm sure, grabbing your arm, asking you a question or two. But what we want to know is what's the noise level about Aaron Rodgers and what's going on with his out of darkness career with the Green Bay Packers in that relationship?
I think the next thing everybody's waiting on is, Rodgers and the Packers to kind of get together and figure out what they're going to do. Because, Brian Gutekunst, their GM, had a press conference earlier this week, and it's been sort of widely interpreted as like a guy that sounds like he's kind of done. And so you wonder how Rodgers receives that and what they discuss in terms of their path forward and a possible trade, and does something have to be done about the contract and all that kind of stuff. So I think we're in a little bit of a holding pattern right now, waiting for the Packers and Rodgers to get together and figure out what they're going to do and how. But I do think there's a sense around here, more than there had been in previous years with this, that there's a decent chance that he's moving on to another team, to be traded to another team. So, when you look at like teams like the Jets and the Raiders and the Panthers and teams like that are making quarterback plans, I do think there's a sense of this has to happen first. And so, so that these other teams know whether they're getting their plan A or plan B.
Yeah. Dan, I feel like every time I hear Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, okay, like you have the right to speak as much as you want, but like if there's nothing for you to say, why are you saying anything? Like, why are you telling me I'm still processing like an iOS system? You know, like I get it, you're buffering. Just buffer, I mean, like, alone. I do want to ask you about this 6'8", 255-pound quarterback in Bryce Young, obviously the complete opposite. What are you hearing about him around the combine?
Dan's walking around the lobby. They think Dan's Bryce Young.
I mean, that is not. First of all, at my end-of-season weight, I'm actually probably bigger. But anyway, that's another – not taller. It's a concern. Like, look, there's no real evidence to support the idea of a guy that size succeeding long term. Someone could always be the first, but and look, he's going to go high. He could be the first pick. Like teams need quarterbacks. Someone's going to talk themselves into it. But it's not a, you know, when you weigh the pros and cons, that's the cons. Everybody loves the way he plays. It's just a question of can he hold up at that size. Someone will certainly hold the nose and take him with a very high pick and hope that, you know, he's the exception. But I think what you hear from teams is he's awesome. I wish he was 3 inches taller or, you know, 15 pounds heavier or whatever it is. So that's the big issue with the top quarterback in this year's draft.
And when you just mentioned, right, Danny, we cover this stuff because we're football guys and we cover this draft every single year. In every single year, there's something, right? There's always a something.
Oh, sure.
And you just said what you're hearing from people, and you're on the ground floor there, is they wish he was this, they wish he was that. Oh, God, he's, you know. Could this be a year, and could he be the guy that's potentially still sitting around and waiting, even though people are forecasting something different?
I think that would represent a significant change in opinion between now and the draft if that were to happen. Because I do think that in spite of whatever the drawbacks are, that he's still the best quarterback in the draft. So I think it's unlikely that guy were to fall too far in a time when, I mean, literally half the league is looking for quarterback. Like, there are 14 or 15 teams that don't know.
Yeah, but they're looking for traditional size, thickness, athletic ability, four speed, and
until they get that factory built where they can just make 32 of those guys and everybody has one, you know, someone's going to have to figure out how to make it work with a different kind of player, and I think the talent this guy has, and, you know, you hear good things on character and intelligence and all that kind of stuff. Someone's going to take him and hope he's the exception because he's that good a player.
You have a boxing draft. I'll take Terrence Crawford first, but not if I'm trying to win the heavyweight championship of the world.
You know, exactly. Like, that's the thing, right?
Bryce Young is that dude, these guys are big.
But the analogy is like, well, maybe he wins a fight or two and looks fantastic, but like, how long will his career be, right? And if you're talking about investing in this guy, those are the questions you got to answer.
So, you know, Dan, I've been talking about this and trying to explain to different people in general and some of my guys here on the show with me and Max and Jay about offensive coordinators and how offensive coordinators call games in the way that they call games and who gives the instructions to call games. And they would say to me, well, Mike McCarthy should overrule these situations. Well, clearly he fired his guy and made a decision that he's going to call plays now. Is that going to benefit Dak Prescott that Kellen Moore isn't doing it anymore?
Well, I don't see how. I mean, it's hard for me to view it as an upgrade, right? I mean, like, it's been a while since McCarthy called plays, and it wasn't going great when he did, right? So Moore is a guy that was unemployed for about a minute and a half right after they fired him. Like, he's well-regarded as a young up-and-comer. They've had one of the top scoring offenses in the league since he's been the coordinator. It just feels like change for change's sake, and obviously the comments from McCarthy this week indicate that there was a significant divide in terms of opinion on how the offense should run. So we'll see. I guess it's possible McCarthy's right, but to me, you know, when you score points like the Cowboys have the last couple of years, you better be careful when you make changes.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think Mike McCarthy was speaking more to when he wants to run the football, they're throwing.
Yeah.
And it's creating turnovers. And because essentially Kellen Moore is being hard-headed and not sticking to the plan.
But, Key, doesn't it also feel
right.
And Dan, I was going to say, doesn't it feel like a lot of the energy has transitioned? Like it was all Mike McCarthy last year. And now we feel like we've found out answers about Mike McCarthy. And now the pendulum has swung back to the quarterback and Dak. And it feels like I'm more concerned for Dak right now at this stage of his career than I am for Mike McCarthy.
In what way, though? Like in terms of going off a cliff performance-wise?
Not
or continuing to throw interceptions?
If he's going to be the quarterback of the future for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, I think he is. I mean, talking to people with that organization while I've been here, I mean, it's pretty consistent the way they talk about him and their belief in him. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get an extension that kind of puts these questions to rest. But they are, they really are all in with him. They think the interceptions were a blip. He's never done that before, and that he has what it takes to fix whatever the problem was. So, for better or for worse, that's the message I'm getting from the people that run that team.
Dan, real quick, we got about 30 seconds left here. Let's transition to another team in the NFC East. What do you think is going on with Daniel Jones and where he is with the contract extension?
They have met with the agent many times here. Like, it is – they're in real discussions that are, I think, making progress. So, I think the sense I was getting yesterday was that there was some optimism, work to be done, but some optimism that maybe – if it continues this way, the deal could be done by Tuesday, which would mean they wouldn't have to franchise him, and they could franchise Saquon Barkley and end up keeping both guys. So keeping an eye on that, but it does seem like there have been some real substantive discussions there that are resulting in what at least some people involved in the negotiations would consider progress.
Well, you guys are going to get your $50 million quarterback, Jay and Max. There y'all go.
I mean,
nope.
I'll take right? 35. I guess it's 30, good work if you can get it, right? I mean, the guy threw 15 touchdown passes. Like, I don't know. To me, there's a number that they should stick to and not
Dan,
go over. But
haven't you heard Mike McCarthy? Scared. You don't want to score too many points too fast.
That's
they got
right.
Right where they want them. Don't worry about it. That's
more
important
to rest your defense.
That's right. Yeah. Rest your defense. Don't worry about scoring. All right. Hey, complimentary football exists. The question is Mike McCarthy, right? Dan Graziano. There he is, high school yearbook photo.
All right, the Grazer.
Headshot.
Get a new one. It's there.
Roz said he was not old enough to remember Key playing in college.
Most but, likely to be at the 2023 combine.
That's right. That's what it says, the caption. Thank you, Dan. A basketball, not just a basketball legend, boy, I mean point guard GOAT, weighed in on Jay being listed as the 14th best college point guard of all time. Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
You have my respect, and I would like to bring you back on my show and talk more about it, but you need to come out with your all-time top 50 wide receiver list. And I need to know where Keyshawn Johnson is.
Oh, my God, that's so good.
Okay? And then you have to come on and tell Keyshawn why he's number 51. Okay?
I can think of 14 guys that were better than Keyshawn in college off the top of my head. So
tell me.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Key was a lot in college. He was a lot.
Man, come on, man. Stop, man.
He said 14 guys off the top of my head. I said, go. He said, well, when I come back on, I'll have it ready.
From that era, the two that stand out to me at quarterback and receiver, I was like, whoa, was Key at receiver and Testaverde at quarterback. And the funny thing is they wound up playing together in the pros when Testaverde was old.
Yeah, you said that, Aaron. Testaverde was 15 before years before me.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying when I was, like when we were young, the guys who stand out as college as college guys at different positions, like Jay, for example, you are very associated with college because you had a brief pro career. You, when I think about college point guards, you're like the first guy I think about, to tell you the truth. But Key is one of the first receivers I think about in college.
What other receivers do you think about?
Recently or all time?
No, all time. This is all time.
Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, obviously. Recently, Devontae Smith. You go back, yeah. Calvin yeah. Johnson. You know, like, but there are some guys who, whatever their various pro careers, whatever yeah. level, but you remember them in college because there was so much.
But whoever the dude was on the list, though, I can't – you know me, Jay. I really don't boost myself up about my career because it speaks for itself. But I'm going to take the time now to gloat a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I know what I was. I was that guy.
That's what I had to do yesterday, Key. The whole show, I was like, this is awkward, but I got to do it.
I mean, look at this right here, man. This don't even make no sense. Give me that, man. Watch out. Ooh. Between two dudes. I mean, that's just it was fair. It was unfair. A man amongst boys. I mean, that's just
yeah, that's the what I said yesterday, Key. That's exactly how I described it.
That was a first round corner at the University of Houston. It just doesn't make any sense. Then I hit him on the post, first play of the game. Mathis, watch out, man. Walk in the end zone. Don't do that.
That's exactly how I described it, Key. In college, you were like a man among
look,
playing
look,
with
this
boys.
Is my, yeah. Well, watch out, man. Sideline, out of here. Yeah. Peace.
Sideline, out of here.
But that's just how it is. And when you talk about what other receivers, you talk about, I'm going to say Moss was around with me. I would say me and Moss were the best two receivers in college football during our era, no question about it. Jerry Rice, I mean, this sort of stuff, when you cut back against the grain and Teddy Bruschi playing Chase. I mean, that's that. It's just a different level.
See, are we talking you – know? This is what we got into the other day, too. Are we talking about, like, stats? Are we talking about, like, you know – who has the potential to be like the next NFL star?
You're just talking about your feeling about that player when they were in college, who you thought
man,
was the
Jay,
best.
Let me tell you something, man. I remember I told you I'm going to take this moment to gloat. If I had a quarterback, if I had Vinny Testaverde for 10 straight years.
Who did you have in college, Key? Who's your QB?
Man, I had three quarterbacks in 2 years. I had Rob Johnson, who played half a season because he was hurt. I had Brad Otten and Kyle Wacos, and they rotated my senior year. Because remember, I only played 2 years in college.
Yeah, 2 years.
And then I was deucing up out of there, number one overall pick. Now, I'm going to talk that talk. You know what I'm saying? I usually don't even do that. But we're going to have some fun on this show because it's Friday. It wasn't even close in college football. You was on vacation last week when Shaq Harris, James Shaq Harris, former HBCU quarterback, Los Angeles Rams quarterback, first real brother to play the position in the NFL, who drafted me to the New York Jets. He said it was between Lawrence Phillips and Keyshawn. Mm. Now, the rest was history. It wasn't even nothing to talk about. I made it easy for him. I like having these conversations, especially when people try to troll. It's like, man, stop, man.
How many touchdowns you have in 2 years, Key?
I think I had probably 15. Mm. Yeah, but that was a lot back then.
Yeah.
Because we remember what school I went to, and my coach was John Robinson.
Yeah.
So we was tailback you. Student body right, student body left. We produced Heisman Trophy winners under him in terms of running the football. We just didn't – it wasn't one of them situations where we were a throwing team like that.
Well, you think about it. How often is a receiver taken one overall, even back then? Doesn't happen usually.
I mean, there's only two in the history. It's only Irvin Fryer, and he was at Nebraska in the 80s.
Who went ahead of Calvin Johnson? He went two, right?
Calvin should have been one. He went two.
Who went ahead of Calvin?
I feel like it was like a lineman or something.
Jamarcus
like that.
Russell, yeah.
Was it Jamarcus Russell?
Well, they want to do that over. But there's some guys in college that just stand out in your memory. You were two of them in your respective sports, where it's like you remember that dude was the dude in college, right? Anyway, yeah, Big Game Boomer released his top 100 greatest point guards of all time list.
Jay was 14, though.
Jay was 14. Magic was one. Michigan State, no argument. Oscar Robertson, two.
Key, people had the audacity to say, you should be happier at number 14.
Pistol Pete, I wasn't happy being number two. Bobby Hurley, Duke, four.
First of all, you were better than Ty Lawson. You were better than Jason Kidd. You were better than Jameer Nelson. GP was the glove. He was GP. He was balling at Oregon State. I didn't see Isaiah. AI was ridiculous.
Isaiah was real.
Now, come on, man. Bob Cousy. Come on, man. Stop.
You got to at least have Jay. You can argue wherever Bobby you want to put Hurley, him in the top 10.
I mean, I got to get up and leave, 10. Man. I didn't even see that. Number four.
And they had him because he's the all-time assist leader in NCAA history.
Man, you're the best college basketball player to ever play at Duke. Are they out of the?
Man, you're the best basketball player to ever play at Duke.
Key, this is where I will say, yo, G Hill was so different.
Grant Hill. I'm with Jay.
If there was somebody that reminded me of Michael Jordan, people talk a lot about Kobe. Yo, Grant was that design before Kobe was, yo.
Grant Hill was fire.
Boy. But Jay, you 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
6'2"?
Stupid.
6'2"? Yeah.
Okay. Like, come on, man. And then on top of that, this dude had a list. He had a list. What if that lists J.J. Redick as the best player in Duke history, though.
I will fight J.J. Redick.
Can I point something out to you, Jay? I'd like to point something out to you. Bobby Hurley and you. This is what I mean when I say I take peak value over career value, right? At your peaks, come on. Now, over the what you've accomplished
Bobby
over the career, this to me is the LeBron MJ argument, by the way.
I can't listen to this. I'm not listening to this, Max.
People online were trying to come at me yesterday, and some people weren't supporting me. And then when Uncle Buck spoke, I was like, I'm done. Magic Johnson
tweeted the following. Thank you, KJ and Max, for including me in the top 20 college point guards of all time list. Including you? Magic, you're one. Including
Magic
you in the
one.
Top 20.
He's the one.
I will say Jay Williams, a back-to-back college player of the year, is easily one of the top 10 college basketball point guards of all time. When the point God tells you
point
that,
God.
It's a wrap, Jay.
I just reposted that. I was like, I'm laying out.
You're official.
But see, the thing is.
You've been knighted.
But Jay, here's what clarifies and sums everything up for me. He back-to-back.
Come on, man.
Whatever championship, trophies, all that. But he's back-to-back, right?
Yep.
And on top of the back-to-back winning it all as the best player in college basketball, if it wasn't a dude that was 7'9 from China.
From China.
This dude would have been, as a six-footer, the number one overall pick.
Not even supposed to.
But that's okay. He still went number two.
Yeah. So they got the national.
Stop.
So was he a champion?
Nine.
Check.
Like seven,
was he considered the best player in college
basketball? Well, he wasn't quite 7'9", but it was close.
He was close, literally 7'6".
He's 7'9". This is close.
He was doing the Mike and Ike drill, just not even jumping off the ground, dunking the ball. Like,
see, he's 7'6", but with shoes on, he was 7'7½".
And he happens to be from a market that the league wants to get into, the most populous place on earth.
He was good.
He was nice.
Yeah, he was good.
He was nice, though.
And he's a foot and a half taller than Jay.
I would have taken him number one, too.
Yeah, right. But you won the national title. You won two-time player of the year.
Me next to him or him next to
No, when you're sitting in the chair and he's sitting
I'm
in the chair.
I'm the one that showed you the picture.
No, I'm asking Max, not you.
Oh, Max.
No. Well, what was it? What picture?
Oh, hold on. I got
it. It's a picture of Jay and Yao Ming on like one of these shows together. And Jay is sitting in the chair next to Yao Ming, and Jay's feet won't touch the ground.
It's going to look like Yao Ming is a ventriloquist. Those two sitting next to each other, Yao Ming's going to look like a ventriloquist.
All they had to do was put him on his lap.
Right. Right. Go on a late show, Key, as a ventriloquist.
Talk to Santa Claus. Look at the picture. Y'all can't see this. Look at this. I saw it. Yao's
in the foreground.
Look at that. My head looks like the size of Yao Ming's kneecap.
That's not a real picture. Come on, man.
No, that is a real picture. That's before
it's
the
not
draft.
A real picture.
This ain't before the draft. This is years afterwards. I was interviewing
years after
in
the
draft.
Oh, okay.
And I made my first line was like, damn, now I know I was the second pick in the draft sitting next to you again.
Carlos Boozer, Jay's teammate at Duke. He's going to join us at 9:15 a.m. Tune into college basketball action tomorrow as Syracuse hosts Wake Forest. Coverage begins at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. Kevin McCarthy, says Kellen Moore wants to light up the scoreboard. I want to run the damn ball.
What?
He throwing this Moore Mike under
McCarthy.
The bus.
Not what did Kellen, I say? Kellen McCarthy?
I said Mike McCarthy and Kellen.
You said Kellen McCarthy.
Did I say Kellen McCarthy?
I'm like, huh?
Hold super on. Genius. I want to throw the flag. Like on, I want the replay like on those commercials. Oh, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Kevin McCarthy says Kellen Moore wants to light up the scoreboard. I want to run the damn ball.
What?
He's throwing this Moore
Mike
under
McCarthy.
The bus.
Not
what did
Kellen
I say?
McCarthy.
I said Mike McCarthy and Kellen.
You said Kellen McCarthy.
Did I say Kellen McCarthy?
I'm like, huh?
Hold on. I want to throw the flag. Like on, I want the replay like on those commercials. Kevin McCarthy.
You didn't even say Kellen. You said
you
Kevin.
Said Kevin.
Who the hell's Kevin?
I couldn't tell you. By the way, that
we wasn't
so
even talking
great
about a
we
Kevin
have that
nowhere
in real
in
life
the conversation.
Like, you know, how those commercials are about what if real life was like this. You could just settle the argument. We have that in real life. How do the people who were proven wrong act in those commercials? That's what I have to do now, right? They just kind of walk away.
The best is your look on your face. You say, what? Did I say Kevin? I didn't say Mike.
Who the hell knows? I got
like
a lot of
Kevin.
We
were not even having a conversation about a Kevin.
Yeah.
If we were just coming off something about a Kevin,
like a Kevin
I can
Durant.
Excuse you. Yeah, I can excuse you of that, John Kellerman.
John Kellerman.
All right, Jay Johnson, hold on a second. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, is with us now. Good
Mike,
morning, Mike.
Bryce Young Tannenbaum, how are you?
Keyshawn Tannenbaum, what's going on?
Actually, this is Mike Tannenbaum, also known as, you know, a few other names that Keyshawn's called me, but go ahead.
This is a PG version show, Mike, please.
It's so weird how, like, Jay called him Kevin McCarthy before. But Mike McCarthy.
Don't start.
Oh, was it Key who did that? Mike McCarthy's comments about changing the offense and the things he said about Kellen Moore, Mike, what do you have to say about that?
Completely unacceptable. Mike McCarthy was Kellen Moore's boss. He fired him. The only thing you say is thank you for your services and wish him well. And there's protocols and there's sort of like customs and traditions within the coaching fraternity that is completely unacceptable. And by the way, it also makes Mike McCarthy look bad as a manager because last year you're his boss. And if you want to do whatever, run the ball, three tight ends more, option football, whatever you want, you're the head coach, you're in charge. And if he wanted to change things, you could either do it in game, you could do it in game planning. So I am really disappointed that he would do that publicly.
Yeah, no, he probably could have just left it in-house and you know how it is. You leave it in-house and go on about your business. One guy's in Los Angeles, the other guy's in Texas. Speaking of leaving it in-house and going on about your business, Eric DaCosta sure stepped in it with the wide receiving crew in Baltimore. And Rashad Bateman had some choice words after he heard DaCosta kind of downplay the Ravens receiver. And basically, as far as I'm concerned, bash the Ravens receiver and put the blame on them, even though he's the one evaluating them. What did you think about that?
Yeah, Key, I think that's one of those things where I think Eric DaCosta probably would want to clarify those comments. He actually, earlier in the press conference, did say good things about Rashad Bateman and then went on to say that they do have to add more receivers. So I think, again, similar to the last topic, guys, like probably better to handle that in-house. Same thing with Rashad Bateman. You know, like my understanding is they have spoken, and Rashad's taken down the tweet key. But, yeah, that's something that could have certainly been handled better.
But Mike, ooh, good thing it wasn't you doing me like that.
Mike, we had this graphic that was up, and I'm just going to read it to you out loud so I can get you to comment on it to kind of back up where Bateman was coming from. So receptions, they were 31st in the league. Reception yards, they were last. Reception touchdowns, they were 29th. Yak, they were 29th. Drop percentage, they were 25th in the league. Doesn't that back up what Rashad Bateman was saying?
Yeah, and Jay, well, to that point, I think it's totally fair. They have made a change at offensive coordinator. They brought in Todd Monken from the University of Georgia. Obviously, they have to get Lamar Jackson signed or franchised, but clearly, you know, they felt like their offense wasn't where it needed to be. So I think if you ask the Ravens, you could sort of go by their decisions in terms of understanding where they had to get better.
So I know that you're a Bryce Young guy, Mike. In fact, you were the first I heard say that the Bears should trade Justin Fields.
He said it on this show.
And draft Bryce Young. That's right. Breaking news.
That was, literally that was the day we found out the Bears were going to get the first pick in the draft. He said it on the show.
So what are you hearing about Bryce Young in Indy?
Yeah, no, we started on KJM. And again, just to be clear, like, I like Justin Fields. I think he has a chance to be a good quarterback. I think Bryce Young has a chance to be a great quarterback. The interviews have gone great, spoken to a number of teams. They were really blown away by his character, his leadership, which is really no surprise coming out of Alabama. The big story really starts tomorrow, guys. That's when he's going to get measured. And I'm sure he's going to come in, you know, right around 200 pounds. He won't be 6 feet, probably a little bit under. And then, you know, the debate will continue. You know, can he play great football despite his size?
Mike, there's a certain guy, and I'm not going to mention his name. If you brought in that scouting report and that certain individual is looking for a quarterback and you tried to convince him that this was the guy because he was the guy, he makes all the plays, but the size wasn't there, what would that certain guy tell you?
Key, he would kick me out of his office with that scouting report, and he happens to listen to the show from time to time, so hopefully he's out for a walk right now. But look, Bryce Young's an exception, make no mistake about it. But with that said, you know, we can look at guys like Russell Wilson and Drew Brees that have had great careers. And I do think Bryce Young, despite his size, because of his accuracy, his arm strength, is an exception. Now, Key, it's a really fair point, especially whatever, the top pick, top five. You know, ideally you want them to look more like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Ben Roethlisberger and all the other great, bigger quarterbacks. But this year, he's the best quarterback, in my opinion.
You wouldn't make it in professional football. It just reminds me of those commercials, man. Like, the uniform is going to be too big.
It's unfortunate, man. This is why I hate the combine, because he is such a talent. But in the end, I think his size is – going to probably wind up doing him in. He's going to – you know, when he probably is the best player, period, in college football. It's just that his size, I can't get over that. It's hard for me to see Nick Bosa coming around the edge or Chris Jones being double teamed but can still reach out with a pinky and grab him. It's hard for me to get there.
Mike Tannenbaum, it's not hard for him, though. Or even if it is hard, he got there. Draft Bryce Young first, trade Justin Fields. He said it originally on this very program. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Mikey.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Go get some more gossip for us.
Mike, Bryce Young, Tannenbaum.
So,
yeah, it's hard, Jay. You know, you want to see him get all the money. You want to see everything work out for him. But I also know how these dudes are, man. They, you know, they looking like you. I gave him a certain guy, and he knew exactly. Mm-hmm. You tell him to get the hell out the building because they want 6'5", 230. That's what they're looking for.
Tomorrow marks the 30th anniversary of Jim Valvano's famous "Don't give up, don't ever give up" speech that launched the launching of Never Giving Up, right? The impact of the V Foundation over the last 30 years. You can join our celebration and support Jimmy V's dream of victory over cancer at v.org/donate. That's v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research, the V Foundation for cancer research. So we're taking this moment to celebrate Jimmy V's incredible legacy. More KJM next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Mike McCarthy's comments about changing the offense and the things he said about Kellen Moore, Mike, what do you have to say about that?
Completely unacceptable. Mike McCarthy was Kellen Moore's boss. He fired him. The only thing you say is thank you for your services and wish him well. I am really disappointed that he would do that publicly.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. This is what Mike McCarthy said. I've been where Kellen's been. Kellen wants to light up the score, wants to light the scoreboard up, but I want him to run the damn ball so I can rest my defense. I think when you're a coordinator, you know, but you're in charge of the offense. Being a head coach and being a play caller, you're a little more in tune with everything. I don't desire to be the number one offense in the league. I want to be the number one team in the league with the number of wins and a championship. And if we've got to give up some production and take care of the ball a little better to get that, then that's what we'll do because we have a really good defense. Number one, is he placing the blame on Kellen Moore? But number two, you are from that whole Parcellian way of thinking, right? There is such a thing as complimentary football. Does McCarthy have a point? And if he does, should he have made it a different way?
No, he has a major point. Now, Mike McCarthy's not from the Parcellian tree, so to speak. But all football coaches that are good are going to think the same way Mike McCarthy thinks about the offense. What happens, and I remember this like it was yesterday. Sean Payton was calling our plays, and Bill told Sean, if you throw the ball one blankety-blank time, and it was a whole conversation, one more time, because when you are trying to do something offensively to get the defense to do something or stay doing what they're doing by letting you gash them and run the football down their throat, you don't all of a sudden become pass happy. Now, one of the things, remember I told you this when you first got on the show, Max, is quarterbacks who are offensive coordinators tend to be pass happy. They just want to throw the ball all over the lot. And that's not the way you call a game. So Mike McCarthy, yes, he should have kept it in-house or not even said anything. Or whatever. He probably shouldn't have said nothing. But the fact that he did say something and it's out there, as I said to you and Jay before, when they talk about, well, Mike McCarthy can overrule him, he can. But if I tell you, give me your best third and six play, and your best third and six is all go, where you got the tight end running down the damn seam and two go routes on the outside, that's not your best play. Give me something on third and two that's your best play. Now, all of a sudden, you got me running a deep end cut, and we backed up. That's not your best play. And so this is what happens when coaches on the headsets are trying to communicate with each other to call plays a certain way. And obviously, Mike McCarthy didn't like it in the end. And when they met at the end of the year and they did their exit meeting, I'm sure they broke things down, and he was like, you know what, man, it's probably best for you to go another direction.
You see, key to me, this is ego. Right? Because I think a lot of times, there are times I'm on TV, Max, you've been on TV, Key, you've been on TV for a long time, that I can say something accurate, But should I say it is a different question, right? We know a lot of stuff that's true, that it doesn't mean I have to say it. So for me, hearing Mike McCarthy say this directly, I don't desire to be the number one offense in the league. I want to be the number one team in the league with a number of wins and a championship. Okay. So now it's your job, since you gave a little bit of a slight, even though it wasn't intentional, or maybe it was intentional, to Kellen Moore. You got that ego now. Well, you got all – it's on you.
Maximize it now. It's one of those deals where when you start to see coaches take over, Jay, and mess with staffs, and this their last hurrah. This is the do or die situation.
Do or die, yeah. You're all in now.
As I've always said, one of the things I've always said anyway is, if I got the job based on me being the play caller, I'm not giving the play calling up anyway. I'm not. If I got the job, whether I'm the defensive coordinator or I'm the offensive coordinator, I'm not giving up the play calling, because at the end of the day, it's going to be all on me. So I can control my own fate. I'm not – yes, you may get the title and you may be able to chime in, but think about it. Andy Reid ain't giving up play calling.
Nope.
Sean McVay ain't giving up play calling. Sean Payton ain't giving up play calling. It may let you have one or two convincing me of doing something. Todd Bowles ain't giving up that defensive play calling.
There's a little difference here, in that McCarthy lost his job in Green Bay, and the feeling was the modern game had passed him by. And that's one of the reasons that at the press conference where they trotted him out in Dallas – he had to go talk about how much he learned in the summer reading a pamphlet on analytics.
But that was all script, though, Max.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But still, he lost the job with Aaron Rodgers as quarterback. And then when the next guy comes in, LaFleur, they start winning 13 games like every year. In this case, though, maybe this is the best thing, because what did you say when they had Cooper Rush in there? They can't get greedy. They got to stay with this script. The difference will be that Dak can make two or three plays Cooper Rush can't. But what happened? They stayed with it at first, and then inevitably they got greedy, and then it went backward.
The first two games, they stayed with it.
Right.
And then, like I said, Kellen Moore going to get happy. He going to all of a sudden see one or two throws, and then all of a sudden he going to start throwing the ball a little bit more down the field. When they should be running the ball, they're going to be throwing. And when they should be throwing, they're going to be running. And you never can get into your rhythm, because he's not only the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. You know what else he's doing, Jay and Max? He's auditioning for 31 other teams.
Yeah, right. Look what a genius I am. Yeah,
he's trying to show I'm a genius. I can do this. Look at me. I'm smart. I went from playing the position to calling the plays. Now I'm ready to be a head coach.
So do you think this is a good thing for Dak, is what you're saying?
I think it will be better for Dak Prescott. Even though Mike McCarthy was fired, like Max said, in Green Bay when he had Aaron Rodgers at the end. Okay, it fizzled out.
Yeah, I got you.
And by the way, he ain't got Aaron Rodgers. That's part of the thing with Dallas, is he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's a good quarterback. So you got to run it more.
So then, Key, like with Ezekiel Elliott at this stage of his career and Tony Pollard having an injury now, like is that – that's just like, – we just running the ball now, even though our two running backs are aging?
I wouldn't – well, Pollard's not aging. He just comes off. Yeah, well, he'll come back off injury.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked that they part ways with Zeke and then draft somebody like a guy in the late first round. What's the kid out of Texas? Bijan Robinson.
Bijan Robinson, by the way.
I wouldn't be shocked that they did that, because Jerry likes that region of Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas players. He likes to carry those players on his roster, because you know Jerry want to make sure to keep the fan base aware.
Bijan Robinson, so, I'm looking at, Key, if the Giants don't work it out with Saquon, you know, like I think a lot of teams are gonna be looking at him.
Yeah, but he won't be there for the Giants.
You know, you think he's going high up in the first round?
I mean, I don't think he would be there. I just don't.
Draymond
the Giants
Green.
Got their guy. Relax, man.
Draymond Green. I hope they keep him. Draymond Green believes European players are not criticized like American stars.
Is it just European, or is there something more there?
Well, like Giannis Antetokounmpo, right?
He's from Europe. Okay.
No, not like Giannis.
Dave.
I'm asking.
Dave Kellerman.
We're talking about pressure for winning NBA championships. Is there less on European players? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.